This morning we celebrate the octave of Easter, the eighth day of the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. With the stay-at-home order and the spread of the coronavirus and economic trouble everywhere, I think all of us need something uplifting right now. And Divine Mercy Sunday is just that. Today is a day of joy. If you didn't listen to our Lenten talks this year, they were on Divine Mercy, and I encourage you to check those out on our website. Because as Catholics, we all need to be familiar with Divine Mercy. This is the message that Jesus Christ has given to us at this time in the world's history. And the Feast of Divine Mercy is a feast that Jesus himself greatly desired the Church to institute. He said in an apparition to St. Faustina, he said, "The Feast of Mercy emerged from my very depths of tenderness. It is my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the font of my mercy." And so from that quote, we know that this is a feast day that comes from the very depths of tenderness of Jesus Christ. From the depths of his sacred heart, he desires for us to celebrate this feast day. Pope John Paul II was the one who instituted this feast day. And I think it's very telling that after all that he went through in his life, he went through years of suffering and persecution under the Nazis, and then that was followed by the communist occupation of Poland. He underwent incredible darkness, as did the people of Poland. But he said that the happiest day in his life was the day that he instituted the Feast of Divine Mercy. There was just such incredible joy of everyone who is celebrating this feast day. And that's a joy that the Lord wishes each of us to enter into today. And so I encourage you to let go of your worries and concerns for a few minutes, and for each of us to open up our minds and our hearts to the message of divine mercy and the joy that the Lord wishes for us to experience right now. As we look at our gospel, the gospel recounts the appearance of the risen Lord to the apostles. And we might think at first how amazing it would have been to see Jesus and how excited the apostles would have been. Wow, he's risen from the dead. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing? But I'm not sure that that's what they were thinking. In part, I think it might have been a little intimidating to see the risen Lord, as he walked right through a wall to be in their midst. But if we think back a little bit, what happened the last time the apostles were with Jesus? They abandoned him, and they fled from him in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was the last time that they saw Jesus. Peter denied him three times. And of the apostles, the closest friends of our Lord, John, after he fled, was the only one to return to the foot of the cross. They all knew that they had turned their back on Jesus and fled in fear, and that they had betrayed him. And there he was in radiant glory. And what is Jesus going to say to them? "You have abandoned me. I now condemn you. Why did you do this to me?" That's not what he said. What Jesus said, and this is very important in the gospel, as he appears to the apostles, "Peace be with you." Not words of punishment or condemnation or anger, but words of reconciliation. And so too with us, especially on this day of divine mercy, Jesus wants to give us a message of reconciliation. Each one of us has sinned. We've betrayed our Lord in different ways. But from the very depths of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, he wants us to be forgiven and to be reconciled today on this Feast of Mercy. And that reveals something very powerful about who God is and his nature. That he is a God of mercy, and his mercy endures forever. He wants us to receive inner integrity. He wants us to achieve that. in part through the forgiveness of our sins, and in part through an inner purification and a transformation by grace within us. He wants us to be transformed into the people He created us to be perfected. And He wants to prepare us for eternal glory, to be with Him forever. In short, Jesus wants to show us His mercy. And on our part, we're simply called to open ourselves up to that mercy. We don't have to do anything great and amazing to receive it, simply to open our hearts and trust in Him and the power of His mercy. Trust is the key. It's trust that opens up our hearts to receive that mercy. And that's what we're called to do right now, is to turn towards our Lord and to trust in Him. As we continue with the gospel, it's no accident that Jesus went on to institute the sacrament of confession. He breathed on the apostles. The only other time that God breathed on human beings was at the beginning of creation, when He breathed a soul into Adam and he had life. That was the beginning of creation. And now He inaugurates a new creation, and He again breathes on the apostles, giving them a new form of life. And He said to them, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." He was instituting and entrusting the sacrament of confession to the church. He was giving them that authority and that responsibility. And so, when people come to confess their sins to a priest, if they are repentant, they will be forgiven. If people are not repentant or unwilling to change their behavior, then their sins are retained. That's why Jesus said, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, whose sins you retain are retained." Confession, in a particular way, is the sacrament of mercy, because incredible healing comes from the sacrament. But Jesus does not stop simply by forgiving sins. He also wants to heal the effects of sin, because sin has effects on us. In part, it's temporal punishment. Even when we sin and confess our sins, oftentimes there's temporal punishment that remains. Injustice, there's still punishment that we need to do. And there's other ways in which sin can harm our souls and disfigure us. It can give us a greater tendency to fall into those particular sins in the future. There can be effects of addiction and other things that come from sin. But this is a day in which Jesus desires to pour out His mercy in abundance. Jesus tells us about this day of divine mercy, and this is from the diary of St. Faustina. He says, quote, "I desire that the feast of mercy be a refuge and a shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon the souls who approach the font of my mercy." The font of His mercy that He's talking about is the sacrament of confession. Jesus promises complete forgiveness of sins and the punishment due to sin for those people who go to confession and then receive the Eucharist on Divine Mercy Sunday. And so we've had extra confessions offered for the past 3 days. And I'm sure for those people who are impeded from receiving the Eucharist, that the Lord will be generous with His graces for them, for those who would make an act of spiritual communion on this day. And today is a day of joy, because it is the day of mercy. So I encourage each one of us to let go of our worries and our concerns for a while. You know, that we have plenty of time to be concerned about those things, and they'll work themselves out in God's plan. But today is a day of joy, and I encourage each one of us to turn towards the Lord and to rejoice in the good news of what He is doing for us and what He desires to do for us from the tender depths of His mercy on this great feast day of divine mercy.